Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, live from the WNYC Green Space here in Soho. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Today we have an extra special show. There's a room full of people here to watch us make a live radio show. Thank you all in the studio and at home for sharing your day with us, whether you're here in person, listening on the radio, live streaming, if you're watching the live stream. Really grateful everybody's here. We have an incredible lineup. The legendary Yola Tengo is here, and they'll perform a special live set. Yeah. We got drums, we got guitars, we got amps. Today is the release day for their new album, This Stupid World. We'll also speak to author and Books Are Magic owner, Emma Straub, about her new kids book about hats and how she found herself in the middle of this huge controversy. We have the founders of the Bronx Culinary Collective, Ghetto Gastro. They have built something amazing. They'll be out in a little bit. That is all on the way, so let's get this started. Jordan Carlos is a creative renaissance man. He's a TV writer for shows like HBO's Divorce and The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore. He's an actor. You've seen him on Black Mirror. He's the co-host with Michelle Buteau of the popular podcast Adulting, named by Ebony Magazine as a must-listen. By the way, that show has upcoming recordings at the Bell House on February 16th, March 12th, and 24th. And he's a stand-up comic who is quite adept at handling live audiences. So we thought he is perfect All of It guest for our show in the green space. He's a creator. He's someone who can answer questions, and he can work a room. Please welcome Jordan Carlos. Woo! Hello. There's hugs happening. Oh, you sit there. Ooh, you.
All right.
He smells good for people listening on the radio.
I see. Thank you, Sublime Odoriferous Emanations. That's my brand. Hi, everybody. How are we doing? I love everybody's got their NPR leg crosses going. This is really good. This is really good. I'm so glad to be here. This is so cool. Like, you're the best.
Oh, I think. Thanks.
Isn't Allison the best, everybody?
Thank you. Like, you're so nice. Now, you're the best at giving advice. You do it on your podcast all the time. So we're going to take questions from the audience in a little bit. If you want to write it on a card, I mentioned to people. So people can also send it to a social media at All of It, WNYC. We do hope you won't be shy and you'll come up to the mics in a little bit. You can ask Jordan some adulting type questions. Right?
Pressure. I feel like the pressure is on now. Like you're like, let's get into advice right now. I love it.
How do you describe adulting?
How do I describe adulting? I think that there's no other way to go but forward, and adulting is kind of like, the germination. You realize, oh God, this is going to be all plant-based. sorry, guys. I just feel like it's when you're done with adolescence and done being a kid, and the world forces you to do a bit more, and maybe you internally want more. From this life and accept certain responsibilities, that's adulting. We do it every day. Like yesterday, I became a landlord, which is insane. Thank you, everybody, for not applauding. I became a landlord yesterday. I know I look like I'm 6 years old, but I did it, and I really set the goal. I made it happen, and I felt so grown up. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. I mean, but then I was like, should I be like a typical landlord? Do I like show up in a muscle shirt, to collect the rent and be like, it's the 10th, you know, like, let's go. What do you got? But I don't want to be that guy. But it felt like I really wanted to do this and I wanted to make it a reality for myself. So I set the goal and then it just felt like I did feel like a kid doing it. But, you know, but I am presenting as a man. And but here I am, you know, like this is it. So it's goals. It's execution, CPE. Concept, what's the P? Planning and then execution, right? So that's what I feel like being an adult is all about.
It's so interesting that you shared that with us because the beginning of every podcast, you and Michelle, sorry, folks over here, you and Michelle share a personal story.
Yes.
How do you decide what to share?
I don't know. It just, the audience will tell you, really. And then it'll kind of like well up. And sometimes before the show, we'll like talk about what we want to share. What feels good, what feels right. I remember one episode you realize that the story is the intersection of like of growth, of humility. You know, like one time I shared that like I had to retrieve my wallet from the lagoon in Prospect Park, which has anyone ever done that before? Has anyone been paddle boating in Prospect Park? You've been? Yeah. Did you lose any possessions? Good for you. Good for all of us. Were you with your children?
Yes.
Okay, so you get this. All right, so, but they're like long-legged. You seem like a tall guy. Okay, when I was, yeah, so I did this. My kids are little. They're like 6 years old and 10 years old. And so if we think of like T-Rex arms, think of that for their legs, right? So basically we're out on these paddle boats in this lagoon and it's like just, it's muck, you know, and we're going in giant circles. And I was wearing shorts and I heard a bloop like that. And my son was like, why is your wallet on the water? And I was like, good question. Great question. So I dove in and it's, yeah. Listen, all I have is night vision and lockjaw now. And and I'm, it's fine. It's mostly just radioactive isotopes down there. But I went up and down and up and down for like 10 minutes covered in disgusting muck. And are you guys okay? And then I finally came up, I produced the wallet. And then the lady who had rented us the boat, who was just a big chain smoker and made us do all these other unnecessary steps, right? She's like, give your ID to the people at the ice rink, then give a blood sample. I was like, whatever. So we get back to the boathouse, and then she's like, I've never seen anybody get their wallet out of the water in all the years I've been working this job.
I didn't know if Harvey Fierstein had a part-time
job. It was Harvey Fierstein in a wig. But I appreciated the work. I was like, oh, wow, I love you, Harvey. So you find those stories. You find the stories that say, like, okay, I was being a good dad, right? And I was, like, trying to be a good parent and give my wife some time, some extra time to herself and, like, take the kids out. And that was my reward, was, like, just going down to the depths, you know, probably feeling on some skeletons down there and then and getting from the 80s and then and pulling out my wallet. So, but it's just, like, the stories are about the fact that, you know, we might be all in the same, we're not in the same boat, but we're definitely in the same storm, you know, and we have to deal with whatever life throws at us as adults. So it's like when we find those stories that fit that, those are the stories we tell, you know.
My guest is writer, storyteller, and performer, Jordan Carlos. So it's interesting. It's really clear that you and Michelle are actual friends.
Yes.
Very much so. There's a promo for one of your shows on your Instagram, and you guys are trying to do it, and you kind of realize you're at a kiddie party. Like, you see this balloon sword, like, just come up from under the bottom of the frame.
Yes.
And then you pull out and you realize you guys are at a kid party.
Yeah.
Trying to do promos professionally for your job.
We were trying to, like, you know, it was at Jane's Carousel, and we're trying to kind of like, you know, edit that out. But yeah, her young son, he's like 4 now, is just like, yeah, this is too fun. And and made one of those kind of, yeah, those long balloon swords, like, stick up through the frame. It was, I mean, you can't help it. Like, I think that's also part of adulting, is to say like a little bit like goodbye to all that, you know, that we are like, I mean, look at these people, like, they have so much hope in their eyes and they're so young. There's like a Gen Z cluster of people over here and you're making me upset. But you know, I mean, we have to say goodbye to all that, and that's okay. And that is that kind of like give and take, the sweet and sour of it all, is what we try to document, you know?
What's the best piece of advice Michelle has given you? You guys give a lot of advice going that direction. What has she given going your direction?
Take up more space. Take up more space, everybody. That's what you should do. Take up all the space. And everybody's getting upset. All right, so don't be. My therapist and Michelle tells me to take up more space. And that's what I've been doing, and it's been great. It's been really good. I feel like I play second fiddle in my life. I was the middle child. Is anybody else the middle child out here? Anybody else an Aquarius out here? Yeah, look at, in the back, raising their hand. You know, don't want to take, I bet you get like little umbrellas instead of big ones. You know what I'm saying? When it rains, yeah, you're just like, yeah. Are you the kind of person that like raises their umbrella like this and lowers it when people are passed by? Yeah, okay, we'll get coffee later. And yeah, I think she said just take up more space. And I love doing that now, you know, because I've tried it the other way. I've tried being a dormouse in New York City. And it sucks. So taking up more space, yes, you don't make, yes, you can ruffle some feathers, but I like it. And I love that Mish told me to do that. Yeah.
Some of the titles of episodes of Adulting are How Late Is Too Late to Venmo Someone Back? Is It Inappropriate to Wear a Cutish Outfit to a Funeral? What do you find is on people's minds these days? You have a really interesting window into what people are thinking about.
Most people have no idea how retirement works. I think that's probably everybody. We have no idea. We have no idea how retirement works. They also want to know when is the right time to break up with their significant other. It's if you've come to us, it's immediately.
It's too late.
You know, we are the court of last resort. They're like, should I do it? I don't know. You know, they're like, just, yeah, dude, you're writing it. People write it on a piece of paper. You know, and I'm like, is this person with you as you're writing it? You know, like, it's pretty insane. It just feels like something in a fortune cookie. But we get those all the time. And it's really hard to know. I mean, I think that you know in your gut, if you're asking the question, you know, like, and it's one of those things where I believe that what I've seen is a cross-section of the demos. Like, we have 40-year-olds come to see us. We have 30-year-olds. We have 20-year-olds. We have whoever. And what I've seen is that a lot of people in Gen Z seem to be very people-pleasing. So they will hold on to things longer than they need to be held on. I'm sorry to look in your soul as I say that. But she's like, oh, my God, he sees me. But that's just what that's what I've noticed and what I've noted. And then the millennials, they're building the car as they drive it. And the Gen Xers are just like, I'll never be good enough. So we just try to help people out in those situations.
I wanted to bring up a story that you told on the podcast, since we're coming around the mountain on Valentine's Day, about the secret to your parents' marriage. Your parents have been married a long time.
My parents have been married a long time. I think they're just trying to they're just bragging at this point. they've been married for over 50 years now, which is like really, it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And they had like their 50th wedding anniversary party, like in the middle of COVID, and you know, they don't get tired of each other. I think the secret to their success is, sometimes I'm like, are they, they're never in the same room. I think there's some older people in the back that can relate to what I'm talking about. It's like, if she's in the kitchen, he's in the living room. If he's in the kitchen, she's like up in the attic. She's in the attic, he's in the garage. Like, and they're just like, we're happy together apart. I think there's that, and then just like they really, really love and enjoy each other. Mm-hmm. Like, they speak about each other the way my mom speaks about my dad. Like, a song will come on, it'll be like something by the Temptations or the Four Tops, and she's like, "Oh, I used to dance with your father to this song," and so they kind of like, they are in love with their own love story, which is really great. Sometimes. Except for when they like, they would do this thing. Like, I remember seeing the Lovers sketch on SNL, and I was like, those are my parents, you know? Because my mom would be like, on their birthday, they'd be like, she would toast my dad and be like, to my husband, to my best friend, my most passionate lover, you know? You're like, oh God, who needs more milk? Oh, the feelings in my body. All right, so that's. I mean, it's a good blueprint. It's a good blueprint, and they would fight sometimes, but it was always towards something better, you know. And then also they would never talk crap about each other in front of us. So if one wasn't there, they would never talk crap about the other one.
Did they understand what you do for a living, your parents?
No. my father's a doctor, a retired doctor, and my mother is a professor of English. She's like just a very regal woman. A lot of brooches. She would love this. She's the kind of person, like, I say the word Harlem. This is how you know. Let me just tell you. I say Harlem. My mother goes, Harlem, like that. You know, she's very, very theatrical. I love my mother. I think she just missed. She should have been on Broadway. But she teaches, like, literature and African-American lit. And she teaches, like, English lit. And she's just a real special kind of person. And so that's what I grew up around. And like, they're like, what are these? My father would call them sketches, like stand up as a sketch or a skit. And then it was always a diminutive. Like now that I make money writing for TV, he's like, well, yes, my son, have you caught his program on the Hulu? You know, but before it was just like, are you still doing that? The little, you know, comedy shows for nothing. But now, you know, you get on TV and all is forgiven. Anyway, this feels like therapy.
And now you're a landlord.
Now I'm a landlord. Yeah, see? Now I have a British title, everybody. I'm the Lord of 400 square feet.
My guest is Jordan Carlos.
Yes.
We'll talk to Jordan more about his little skits.
Don't do it too.
This is all of it.
Oh my gosh.
This is all of it. I'm Allison Stewart, live in the green space with a whole lot of nice people and Jordan Clolarsen. You're a nice person too. I mean, and Jordan Carlos. I came out really wrong.
A whole lot of people, notwithstanding Jordan Carlos. Okay, yeah.
So Jordan, you part of your gig, you're being a Renaissance man, is that you are a writer, a sitcom writer. You actually teach writing.
I do.
And somebody posted about your class, one of the best things I've done for myself, which is really lovely.
Oh my God, I posted that.
What's something about sitcom writing that you think most people don't understand?
I think that people don't understand how difficult it is and how much like it's like a Jenga tower and a puzzle and you're trying to like make a story, a coherent story in under 30 minutes. And then just how much of it is kind of like painting in primary colors. Because everybody sees some very amazing out-of-the-box programming on their streaming platforms, the White Lotus, the this, that, and the third. But it all goes back to, like, Joseph Campbell. It all goes back to, you know, just the story circle. And they're very that's one thing that's really hard for my students to understand. They're like, I'm going to break the picture plane. Do you understand? I'm like, first, you have to understand first act, second act, third act structure. And you have to break the rules after you learn the rules, you know? And I think that's, well, I mean, they're all New Yorkers anyway. They're like, what is it that you can teach me? You know? Well, how, why, you know, pitch me on why you should be my teacher. And you just have to get them over that. And my whole strategy is like, with New Yorkers, I love New Yorkers. I've been here for 20 years. So teaching a class, first you have to like break them. And then you just have to essentially say to them, come with me if you want to live, you know, and then they're like, okay, that's because I'm giving them stuff that's actually worked. Yeah.
How do you give constructive criticism? That's something that people have trouble with.
First, you give a compliment. Mm-hmm. You just tell people what they're doing right. You open it up because my class is like a writer's room, and I try to make it like Socratic in a way where it's like everybody's done the reading and everybody should chime in, and it shouldn't just be me. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask people, what did you think of what I just said? Or they're like, it was great. But, you know, just giving other people an opportunity to hear that. And it's really hard to take criticism. I usually tell people, like, as you're getting this criticism, count backwards from 100 in your head, because you're, of course, going to lose. You might lose confidence in your own choices, mm-hmm. right? And you get, and your ego takes over. Mm-hmm. So, which is just, you know, it's not going to help you build, and it's not going to help you grow as an artist. Do you guys like my TED Talk?
I do like your TED Talk.
Oh, thank you so much. But I think I come by these things honestly, because I've written things and then I've handed them off, and then somebody's like, in the first act, and I'm like, don't you touch a word, you know? So I think it's, I just try to impart that for the next generation mm-hmm. of writers, you know? Yeah.
I think we have a question from the audience. Hello.
Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi there. Any thoughts on the Fawlty Towers reboot?
On the Fawlty Towers reboot? I'm all for it. I mean, I love... My mother, among other things, is... She's a huge comedy nerd, a closeted, like, comedy nerd. So she introduced me to, like, Carol Burnett. She introduced me to Keeping Up Appearances, all BBC stuff. Like, we could watch everything but Benny Hill. I remember I was like, what's wrong with this guy? I love a little yakety sex. And my mom... So that was not cool. Like, you guys have... The young ones are like, what? Google it. Google it now. Okay. Alexa, what's yakety sex? All right, so unless this is really
hooked up. How many Alexas did you just turn on?
I know, right?
Oh, and I just...
That got very sexual. Okay, so I how many did I, City of New York? I think... To answer your question, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I love John Cleese. I love Fawlty Towers. Fawlty Towers was one of the reasons why I wanted to do comedy writing, because it's just one set in and out, and it's just pure comedy, and I'm ready for it. I mean, John Cleese is 80-something years old, and he was always tripping over and doing, like, physical humor with the Spanish waiter. So we'll see how it, you know, it takes... Hey, he does some hip openers. He takes some Geritol. We'll see what happens. I'm excited for it.
Do you have any other questions from the audience while I plow on? I can keep going. I'm going to keep going. All Jordan right. Carlos is our guest. Let's talk Super Bowl.
Let's talk.
We have our first Super Bowl with two black quarterbacks, conveniently happening during Black History Month.
It was conspiracy. All right.
57 years to have two black quarterbacks.
It took 57 years?
Yes.
What about a second string black quarterback? So it's all, okay, well, I'm glad that this is happening in my lifetime. This is so cool. Patrick Mahomes, right? And Young Hurts, Jalen Hurts. What are my thoughts on that?
Yeah, when you first heard it.
When I first heard it, I was like, that took that long? I had no idea. I mean, wake me up when it's two black punters. I think that's... that'll be a moment. Dr. King's other dream. It's cool. It's great. It shows where the game is going, you know, that we got more black head coaches, and it just reflects the culture of the sport itself. I think that's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. I'm not going to say who I got my money on, but I do hope that my homie does well.
Do you ever find yourself having the conversation, the conundrum? We have it on the show often. Yeah, Black History Month. Yay. Highlight contributions, untold stories, versus, wait, this should be happening all year long. And we try to do this all year. I think you guys know, listen to the show, whether it be Black History Month, the Women's History Month, that yin and that back and forth.
It's the Halloween paradox. It's like, why do people wait to dress like sexy nuns till Halloween? You want to do it all the time, so just do it. Yeah. Integrate it. I mean, that's isn't that Black History? Integrate it. Integrate. Make it G-R-E-A-T. You know what I'm saying? Make it integrate. Like, I believe that's what we should do more often, instead of being like, okay, for these 28, maybe 29 days, we celebrate Black achievement. Yeah, it should just be sewn into the fabric of life in America.
Are you going to watch for the game? Or are you watching for Rihanna?
I am I am watching... can I watch for all of them? Can't there be a cognitive dissonance going on? I'm here for all of it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We made this man clap. This man has had his arms crossed. Look at him. Like a Roman emperor. just a nonverbal F you here. Like, what? I love New York. I love this. Isn't this a free show?
Yeah, pay what you
wish. Yeah, it's just like, this does not please me. I love this town. All right, go ahead. I want to see. Okay, I'm definitely down for wings. Mm-hmm. I'm a gross person that cleanses all the time. So I like to cleanse all week and then have chicken wings. So I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to those. Anybody else like chicken wings out here? Yes. Woo-hoo! All right, John. Because everybody else does not like chicken wings. What in the world? Okay, all right, cool. All right, do you guys like America? Don't answer that. Yeah. All right. No, I look forward to the wings. I look forward to the bad food. I look forward to kind of half paying attention and then half like helping other people that just don't watch sports at all like understand because I'm a cis straight man who loves to teach. I mean, I literally teach a class. I'm like, oh, let me tell you about the pass, run option. Here we go. Yeah, here goes Dr. Carlos and all his information. I admit, like, I do love when a kind of a nerdy bird person is like, tell me about this football you love so much, you know? So I'll be doing that with my wife. I'm excited.
It was just your birthday.
No, I'm kidding. Yes, it was my birthday.
Are you a birthday person? Do you count these milestones? Do you take account and you think about what you want to do in the next year?
Well, I'm kind of like mine's on Groundhog's Day, so I get to celebrate for 6 weeks if I see my shadow. Yes, for the first time, I was like, let me do this like I've seen so many of my lady friends do it. I was like, let me just have a month of Jordan, and I had my birthday like proper on February 2nd. Are there other groundhog babies out here? No.
Anybody?
There's only one place where we're treated like humans, and that is Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. and basically, I had that like, you know, kind of like a very, I celebrate in the day. We went to like a spa that will remain nameless. And then we went to like Bubby's, which is great, before that. And so we did that. And then we went to like, we danced at the Dumbo House on Saturday night. If you've never done that, oh my gosh, it's very exclusive. So there I was. I try to keep my knees young and my hips, lubricated. And we were dancing. And then we got free drinks, me and my wife.
Nice.
Because these young ones, they don't dance.
So you went out and danced and
then the young people were just like, okay, my wife goes to the bathroom and this lady goes, you're so courageous for dancing like that. It takes courage to dance. I don't understand, but that's when you're over 40, it takes courage. But yeah, we had a great, I looked forward to this birthday, this lap around the sun, and I'm excited about it, you know?
Where can people see you next?
They can see me, okay, oh my gosh, they can see me on the 16th, as you have said, at the Bell House, which I'm really excited about, to do adulting. So I invite you all to come. I'm sorry about the Rome, Cassius. It will cost you some money, but we can talk about that later. Maybe we'll put you on the list.
I actually bought tickets to that last month before.
Why did you do that?
Support you and Michelle.
Thank you for supporting me, but you can be on the list anytime. Anybody in this room could make the list. Were you gonna? I felt like, I don't know. I feel like dispensing a little adulting advice for Valentine's though, because it's coming up.
All right.
Up.
What do you think for people?
Folks, here's the thing. How many of us are in couples? Okay, wonderful. Clap it up for that. Okay. Do you have, and often you want to do like, you want to make reservations at restaurants, right? No?
It was like,
okay, well, apparently this person's getting a divorce. No restaurants, no romance. If you can help it, go to breakfast or lunch with your loved one.
I like that one.
Thank you. This is like Black Church. He's like, that's it. Yeah. No. Just emoting. Mm-hmm. Tell him. Thank you very much, sir. Are you... Wait, who said that? Is it him back there? Okay. All right. You have a beautiful beard. It looks like there's bees in it. And I always say, like, go take them to a very nice and romantic breakfast. Okay?
Nice.
Have the mimosa of it all. Do the strawberries, get the pancakes. That chef's kiss. You can't go wrong. That's my advice. Also, make coffee for your mate in bed. And then, if they're coffee drinkers, of course. And I'm speaking to like married cisgendered men here, straight. And I'm like, do all the housework and take out the trash, do some invisible work, and you'll stay married?
I think you saved, you saved some relationships today, Jordan.
Yeah.
Everybody, Jordan Carlos.
Yeah.
Up next, we speak with the culinary trio Ghetto Gastro about using food to tell stories and inspire pride. They'll share some recipes. Stay with us.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.